I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Yo, welcome back to Cooling Out. We're here. We got our boy Ray in the building. His business partner Dexter. Together they are a labor. So we want to, you know, talk to them. Make sure y'all check out letslabor.com. So what's up, man? How you guys? Excuse me. You guys are cool. You see that? That's that startup shit. .co. But nah, so what's up, man? How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Yeah, cool.
I'm alive. But nah, so people already know you, Ray. So, like, you've been on here, it's your third time around.
Yeah,
you've been on here way too many times. So, want to introduce Dexter a little bit to the people, you know. Just talk a little bit about yourself, what you do for a quick second. Nice little blurb.
Cool. So, my name is Dex. I'm a creative director, mainly designer. I do a little bit of everything. And I started labor with Ray because, like, most creatives I know, I'm kind of dissatisfied with the lack of meaningfulness in what I do. So I'm trying to find to do something that adds value to the world instead of just being like busy work. I don't know. Overall, trying to find a way to do something more valuable with my skills and help people and find community, create connection, and all that good stuff that looks so great on Instagram.
Gotcha. That's my bad. That's funny because I put my head all up in the camera.
Switch? Do I want
to? Yeah, y'all talk about that. But as I was saying, it's funny you mentioned that though because talked with Ray a couple of times, like off wax, and like that's one of the first things he said. Also, was about just wanted to do something outside of like you know just busy work and going to work the 9 to 5, and wanted to actually use his creative skills for something more meaningful and right. Something that was more important to him. So it's just interesting that you know. You guys tied that knot and made this company together.
I have a question. What's the initial convo at birth and labor between you two?
That's a deep question because...
A very good question, I think. We have this almost involuntary tradition of going to lunch every day together for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that happen during lunch are kind of really deep. It's not about the weather or anything like that, so...
Yeah, but we always... would talk and lunch and think about something we wanted to do together. We know we wanted to do something else. Like, we wanted to put our energy towards something that's going to bring us more happiness and fulfillment. I think in the beginning, we had this idea of starting an agency on our own.
Yeah.
And we went down that path, and we created a website for it and everything. We were, like, creating all these slides, trying to create a business plan. And then we realized... fuck, why are we going to do this? It's the same shit. We're going to be working right. For other people. Like, we're going to have to please other people, please other clients.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you have to do whatever the client wants. It not, like, doesn't matter how stupid it is. You have to do it because it's the client. It's who's paying you. So we didn't want to do the same thing. We didn't want to do the same thing just for other, in other context.
And then I think we went down this path where let's create our own brand. We love sake. We think there's a, you know, sake's going to blow up. Sake is going to blow up this summer. I'm just mark my words. You heard it here first. It's going to be the drink of the summer. Rosé was last year. Rosé was last year. Sake is this
year.
I'm behind the tongue.
But then there's just so much, I don't know, so much that I guess it was a very costly endeavor to just create a sake liquid. There's so much we didn't know, and I don't know, we just kind of veered away from that. And then we landed on this idea of still creating our own brand, but in the form of content. And that's where the labor, you know, came through, because the great thing about labor is that we're learning as we go, and that's just the way it's structured. You know, every month is a new theme, and every theme is either something we're trying to overcome or you're trying to achieve. So, for example, right now it's anxiety. Last month it was happiness. I think next month is gonna be patience. And Kevin, you're gonna be on that. It's a great interview we had. And you know, we're learning a lot about ourselves doing this and collecting people's stories, but we're also not we're not working with anybody else in terms of trying to force our vision onto somebody else. We have a vision that we're trying to achieve with the help of other people. We're trying to get other people to buy into our vision, which is something that we're finding a lot of people it's resonating with a lot of people, and that's just to live a more creative and meaningful life. I think everyone, to a certain extent, wants that. And the way everyone achieves that is going to be different, but we're just trying to give you that nudge, that push, and those tools to help you do that.
Yeah, it is sort of, we're trying to find a point where everybody can relate, because I think, to an extent, most people go through a phase where they are frustrated with what they're doing and they need something more. And we're just trying to be of use, like, so people can see the content we put out there and they don't feel like they're the only people who feel that a certain way. And maybe we can come up with any kind of inspiration for them to overcome all those things, or just share the journey together and find some community.
What was I gonna say? Oh, yes. I think it's very interesting. I wanna go more in depth about labor and, you know, the services and the content that you guys provide, but while you were talking, both of you, or Ray, mostly you mentioned how you guys wanted to start just any endeavor together, and how you guys basically started two other endeavors together but failed doing that, and then, you know, you landed on the labor now. But can you talk about some of the experiences you had through those two failures and some of the things you learned? Because I think a lot of people who listen to the podcast are, like, you know, future entrepreneurs and want to know, like, some of the steps and, you know, some of the failures, and also if you can kind of touch on things you learned and what also helped you overcome those failures.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, when we first tried to, you know, start an agency, that was the initial idea. You know, we went for it, and I think it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like if this was brought to fruition, it's going to really achieve what we want. And the same thing with the sake brand. It's not so much that we failed, we kind of just gave up on it. Mm. But then with labor, it just made a lot of sense, because we were doing what we know. You know, with sake, it's something we don't know at all. An agency, we worked at agencies, we don't know how to start a business like that. With labor, it was something that we felt comfortable and knowledgeable enough to be like, we know exactly what we're doing. We know how to start a brand. Dex is a, you know, amazing designer. He can design the shit out of it, and we can come with a strategy for it. The most important thing, though, I would say, is just the ability to do, you know. And for the longest time, I think with the agency and the sake brand, is we wanted to be perfect before we put anything out there. So we were so concerned with everything being perfect, and even with labor, it got to the point where, like, let's set a date and just stick to that date and just put it out to the world. So January of this year was the date. We worked towards that starting in October, I think, or September. Mm-hmm. And we just put content out there. And we learned from it. We got feedback from it from people, some good, some bad. And we feel like we're doing better every time. But it's because we got up to the plate, we swung a bat. That's the only way you're going to hit a ball, right? So you have to do, and if you don't, you know, nothing's going to come of it. But if you do, something will come of it. And we're not perfect by any means right now. There's a lot that we can improve, but we just keep swinging. And as long as we stay on this consistent path of putting content out there, it'll get better. And we want to bring people into our circle to help us, but Yeah, I think the most important thing is to just take action, actually do it. Like, stop thinking about it so much and just put something out there.
Mm. Yeah, it's like I always say, better done than none. So at the end of the day, it's about showing up and being consistent. And that's what we've been doing with labor.
I like that. People listen to the podcast know I steal quotes. So that's going right on my Twitter. Better done than none.
I had a it's not really a question, but I was thinking about it earlier. Like, why are we so afraid of failure or, like, not living up to people's expectations when it comes to creating something new? Like, we've all in this room sat, like, even us with the podcast and you guys, I'm sure. Like, why do you guys think failure is such a big role than everything else that will stop something from being bigger?
That's a great question.
Man, I can go really, really deep into that shit. I like to read about it.
He was like, yeah, I'm about to go deep. Let me grab this mic.
I'm going
to
tilt this a little
bit. Right, take five. I got
it. Rolling the sleeves up.
Yeah, no. Truth is that we, at the end of the day, we're conditioned to crave people's approval. We are like tribal beings. Like, we need to belong. And that's like a need. It's a biological need, but also it's reinforced during your life. First with your parents, when they are raising you up, they tell you what to do, they tell you what not to do, and they punish you when you do the things you're not supposed to do. Same in school, like, they teach you about something and they give a specific answers you have to provide, and if you don't hit those answers, then they punish you with low grades. Mm-hmm. And then when you go out to the real world and get a job, then also they set you parameters that you have to hit when it comes to what's right and what's not. And that's why we are so conditioned since day one to perform and to kind of feel like there's only one right answer. And if you don't hit that answer, then you're wrong. And then you're going to be either punished or you're going to be cast aside or you're going to be ridiculed or many other things. And I think that always resonates whenever you want to do something you like. The first thing you think is like, what if people doesn't like it? Mm. But I think like, you have to prioritize who you want to please. You want to please yourself or you want to please someone else. And if you really, really like something, you really, really feel passionate about something, then at the end of the day, you're not doing it for other people. You're doing it for yourself. And that's when something comes to life, really. And that's why one of the things we value the most at passion is, at labor is passion. Because when you're really passionate about something, then you don't let anything get in the way for doing it, not even yourself or this approval system.
Yeah, I would ask you guys, like, just open-ended question, like, think about all the times you were scared to do something, but you did it, and how good did you feel afterwards? You know? Like, that feeling afterwards, after you do something you were scared of, it's a great feeling because you did something you didn't think you could do, or you had this doubt. Going to a meeting and being, you know, nervous as hell about it. You gotta speak in front of all these people and then you do it and then you feel great afterwards. It's this comfort zone you have. You need to constantly break out of. I think that's super important. That's the only way you grow. So it's also a mentality thing. Like, you can look at fear as a bad thing, but once you flip it and kind of want to conquer your fear and, like, you look for it, because you know those things are actually going to be good for you, that's when a lot of I think good things can happen, when you actually look for it and then go after it.
Yeah, another thing, and actually we've been writing about this, is like, we try to be catalysts of change, at least trying to make people realize things on the things we write about. And one thing I like to repeat is like, we as a society, we should reward success and failure, but we should only punish inaction, which means we'll be very encouraging for people to try, and if you succeed, it's great, and if you fail, it's great, because you actually only learn from failure, and then only punish inaction. Like, doing nothing, that would be the only thing that shouldn't be acceptable. And I think if we live in a society who lives like that. Like, imagine kids growing up that way. They will try everything and they wouldn't have any limits, and I think that would be really, really amazing.
Mm, another stolen. So I wonder about labor specifically. What do you think distinguishes labor from a lot of other content providers? Because, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, brands that provide content. So what do you think distinguishes labor? What makes labor stand out from everyone else?
I think a couple of things. One, I think it's the tonality of everything we're writing is very authentic and real. And it's coming from people who are not experts. Me and Dex don't consider ourselves experts at anything we're writing about, but we're opening up and we're actually really opening up about things in ourselves and just sort of spilling our hearts to people. And I think the more we do that, the more appreciated it is from our audience. So I think just that approach from having writers who aren't necessarily writers to begin with. We don't consider ourselves writers, but we want to express ourselves because we want other people to know there's other people like us who suffer from the same things, who want the same things. And I think another thing is our approach in terms of how we split up the content and how we focus and really own a specific theme every month and really dive into that theme, not just from how we write, but who we talk to. We talk to people who want to talk about that thing because it's a really critical thing they deal with in their life on a daily basis. So having other people open up and then capturing that, and then I don't know of many other content providers out there who really hone in on specific topics like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's unique as well.
Obviously, we're on the same page on everything you said. I think what makes us different is, like, we're not trying to preach or teach to anyone. Like, we are not positioning ourselves as experts, and I think that's the most valuable thing. It's all about being relatable, and we have more questions than we have answers, and that's what we're trying to figure out together.
Who came up with the idea for the theme months? I really like the concept, by the way.
Thank you. I don't know.
I think the first thing to say is that some things on all of these endeavor come on their own. They just kind of manifest out of all of these conversations. We piece things together. Actually, most of the write-ups we did for the agency, that it was our first step, kind of carried over to labor and apply in a certain way, because we are more about what we stand for than more than the process. And a lot of things came out to be this way. I think we just had a lot to say about a lot of things.
The name for the agency we were going to start was Open Studio. And the one similarity between the agency and what we have now is we want to have a very open sort of environment. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing, the Open Studio. It's like we imagine a company where, like Dex was alluding to, like failure is sort of celebrated in terms of we want people to fail because we want people to feel like they have a voice. We want people to put their ideas out there, and that's the only way we're going to grow. So that's also why the first theme we launched was openness, because, you know, that idea of being open, I think the best way to do that is to focus on one topic at a time and really open up about it. But I don't know which one of us came up with that first. But
I feel like it just came up. It was meant to be.
So even like a little deeper into the themes, like this thing. Yo, Chris just walked in. Like, what's up, man? Anyway, but like even going a little deeper into the themes, what goes into your process of theme selection, the order of the themes? Like, how does that work out between you guys? Like, who's to say, oh, anxiety is this month, and why do we even want to speak about anxiety? So just go a little bit into that, please.
So we have a long list of topics that we just sat down and thought about and just wrote down all these different things that, again, we either try to overcome or achieve, and that we think our audience does as well. And in the order that which they're brought up is really right now in terms of who we talk to and who we meet. So if we meet with somebody and I show them the list and they're like, oh, I really like that topic, I let them sort of dictate right now the order of the topics we're talking about. So it's really more about the people, not so much about us.
Yeah, I mean, again, main thing is to be real, and that's why we have a list of things that kind of affect us in a way, and then the people we interview also have to be reflected on that theme. So that's how we select people. Like, whoever's on a close circle that we're interviewing right now, we just saw the list and they select the one, and we just keep grouping people together on that way.
Gotcha. You sure? All right. So what do you want people to take away from your website? Because I, like, when I visit your website, for example, right, I feel, let me try to use this word. I feel like there are people out there who are experiencing the same, you know, emotions and things that I'm experiencing. For example, anxiety. I struggle with anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys have a theme for a month where you interview people who are talking about anxiety, or, you know, have write-ups about anxiety and things of that nature. Was that like your goal and creating labor? Was it so it can be like more of an all-inclusive website where people can see that other people are experiencing the same emotions that they're having? Was it more like an educational thing? Like, what was your goal for this as far as like the themes and all that?
The goal is to share the journey. Like, we all share this passion and we want to do, I mean, again, things that matter. And there's a journey from where we are right now to where we want to be. And we just want to share that, like really, and be open and vulnerable and put ourselves out there as we are, imperfect and with issues. We're not trying to pretend that we have all the solutions, and we don't try to pretend anything. And I think the main takeaway people can get out of our website and what we do is, on first level, just relate. Like you said yourself, like you suffer from anxiety, then you're already relating to what we're doing. So that's, you're finding a community because you are not alone. And then maybe from one interview or something someone says or something we write about, you can find like an aha moment or maybe some catharsis out of it. And like any tiny nudge we can give you to get to that goal, I think that's the best takeaway you can get.
Yeah, and like we, like I said in the beginning, like we don't consider ourselves the expert.
Yeah.
But our goal is to become an expert. And I think the way we're gonna do that is by this process, by hearing other people's stories and capturing it and documenting it, so that eventually we can create a sort of how-to guide of how to live a more creative and meaningful life. Taking everything we've learned from other people and ourselves through this process, so eventually we can be like, this is how you overcome anxiety. This is how you get happiness. Or what is happiness, you know? And it can be sort of a book, think of it that way. So eventually we'll become experts through this process. But right now, to what Dex said, I think it's more of a journey, and sparking anyone sort of to take action and to realize they're not alone. That's sort of the main goal. And I think we're also trying to figure out the best. I know that content can be better, and we're learning as we go. But yeah, that's what it is right now.
What has this process done for you guys personally?
For me, it's very therapeutic. Like, I've always been an introvert, and I think Dex is too. So that's the ironic thing, is we're very to ourselves. So for us to open up like this, it's unusual. And it's not easy. Like, it takes a long time for us to think about what to write about and actually write about it. It's easier when I'm drunk for some reason. But.
It's easy for everyone.
What would that mean?
So yeah, my whole life story.
Sobbing in tears. But what was the question again? Sorry.
How labor's helped you guys personally? What you've learned
through the process? Yeah, helping. the way I am naturally, I like to simplify things. That's just, it's part of my job too. Like, I take all this information, try to dumb it down to something that's clear and concise, everyone understands. And for me to take these topics and try to really understand the deep root of it and why, say, it's anxiety, why do I get anxiety, the things, the steps I have to take to overcome it, seeing what he writes, and because he has a whole different outlook on the same topic, because sometimes it's the same, but when we talk to other people, I learn how they perceive it, it's totally different. And I think the one common theme so far through whatever theme we're talking about is, I think it's perception and being present. That's, being present is always brought up no matter what we're talking about as a really important thing you need to do. So I've learned that through this process, and I try to be more present. That's something I've learned so far, and it's only been 3 months in. But.
Yeah, same. I think I haven't done it as much as Ray has, but interviewing people, it teaches you a lot about yourself, which is crazy to think about, because I don't know, it's about relating to the person that are talking with you. I don't know if it's the same for you guys on with your podcast, but like, yeah, it kind of opens your eyes, and also being present, like Ray said, like just from the practicality of talking to someone and like trying to come up with the questions, you really have to be focused on what they're saying, but also kind of listen to your own brain. And you cannot do it if you're like thinking about your problems and thinking about what you're going to eat and things like that. So you really have to live in the moment. I think that's really, really valuable.
How was that experience for you guys, though? Like interviewing people and coming up with the questions, because both of you guys just basically admitted that you guys were introverts. And it's being an introvert is, sorry, the first step when you like come out and you're like writing about yourself or just, you know, putting out content is different, because that's just you doing it for yourself. But for you to have to sit there and put yourself out in a different light by interviewing someone and asking questions, how has that experience been for you guys?
Well, I think we started small by interviewing only people who are close to us, so we already know that most of the people we interview, that give us a little bit more comfort. So it's not as tough. We are like not completely lost on that. I don't know. It's all about being genuinely interested on the person you have in front of you, and like really know what they have to say. And having a theme overall gives you a good context to start, a good starting point. And then you just build up from there, and use, like, again, you really listen, you really care about what they're saying, and then you relate. And that's pretty much the strategy.
Yeah, I think best case scenario is, I have some questions I want to ask, but best case scenario is I don't ask any of them, because you're just having such a great conversation, and this is something that person has a lot to say, you know, about, so it's just natural, and then we just, next thing you know, we're an hour in, and, you know, I have to stop just because I have no memory on my phone, but that's the only reason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Those are the easiest interviews.
Yep. You get them in there, you ask them, like, one question, an hour later.
Cause I'm shy.
What are we going to talk about?
You get a lot of those, but, I mean, that's the thing, though. Also, I think that should make it easier for you guys, because if you bring people who are actually passionate about the themes that you guys are talking about, then they can just go on, because, you know, people are passionate. Well, they want to...
You know.
I got a little episode coming out, a little interview.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
June, but we'll talk about that when June hits.
Yeah, we want to know our dates. When are our dates popping up?
Well, Kevin's next month.
Kev already popping in these streets.
I'm going right down on you. He talking to you,
bro. May, June, July. I don't know where, but May, June, July.
We need to see ours, man.
I already know mine.
You know yours?
I don't know my date, but I just know. Tear jerker.
For real?
You'll see. Anyway. So anyway, like, what are some of your long-term goals for labor? Like, where do you see labor? I mean, I know a little bit, but, you know, just off wax, but, like, just let the people know, like, where do you see labor, some of your future plans, goals?
Yeah, so, you know, you think about a media company, we're in the business to create content, mm-hmm. right? And we're in a position right now where we're finding out that we can't do everything alone, you know, especially when we have other jobs on the side. So right now, I think focus is to meet with a lot of different people who are like-minded like us, who are passionate about something, and then helping them or helping each other make their passion something that can be shared with other people. So I think we want to try to bring people in and create content around different people, different personalities. So, for example, we have a lifestyle section in labor right now that we're trying to define. But, you know, within lifestyle, there's so many things. There's culture, there's food, there's music, there's sports, entertainment. And if we can find different personalities who are passionate about food, say passionate about fashion, beauty, and then create content around them, and then they can own that sort of platform, mm-hmm. and they have their own content segment within labor, and then that's proof of product right there, because we're here to try to inspire people to live more meaningful lives. Mm-hmm. We're helping you do that, and we're giving you a platform to do that. So everything comes together 360 if we're able to do that. And I think that's the only way we're going to grow as a company, to bring more people in and make them feel like they're, you know, a big part of this. This is just as much part of them as, you know, as anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. We want to be the next, nowadays, the next, I don't know, Vice Media is kind of a very aspirational
Vice?
Example. Yeah, Vice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Very aspirational example of what we want to become.
Yeah, if you were to compare, like, we are, like, in the middle between, like, what Vice is. If Vice had a baby with Humans of New York and Lewis Howes, I don't know if you watch his podcast, but it's very, like, inspirational, motivational. Mm-hmm. And what's the fourth one? I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I'm blanking too.
It was, they dropped that baby. But, yeah, I think the what I love about Vice is the content. So engaging. It's so relatable. The way they create content is something I aspire to. And then with Humans of New York, it's that human-centric aspect. You're getting real stories from real people. It's very New York-centric, which is great. And then Lewis Howes, he does very intimate interviews with people where he gets the most out of them. And he has a huge following because his interviews are amazing. You learn so much from it. So a little bit of what all those companies do well, and I think that's where labor falls into that.
I don't know. I like, as someone, like, I go on the internet, and you see a lot of negative things sometimes. Like, when I'm on Instagram and you guys post, like, those quotes, those are my favorite ones. Like, especially if I'm just not in a creative mood or space, Like when you just see a random quote, and not even a random quote, just someone you know motivating you. That's how I feel every time you guys put up something. I like the idea too. Like let's work. Like let's get things done. Mm-hmm. As an outsider, I like the idea, the overall idea of it. I'm glad you guys decided to do it too, because you know we're sort of in the same business, the same idea too. When we interview people, it's sort of we want them to get their stories out and help motivate them to do better. Every time we bring someone on, it feels like they get more inspired when they leave here. Yeah. So I think you guys have something different and something unique. Like, especially since it's 3 months, it feels like forever you guys have been doing this. But for both of you guys working with together, do you guys feed off of each other's energy? How do you guys work with each other? Like, when you have a topic, do you guys, like, go back and forth and then sort of come up with a draft? Or do you guys, like, I'll do this, you do that? Like, how do you guys feed off of each other's energy?
Oh, I'm taking it? Okay. All right.
that's how they work right there. I'm taking it? All right.
I think the great thing about how we work together is a lot of times we will find ourselves in a hole, or we're struggling to figure out what to write about or how to approach something, and then we'll just talk about it, and while we're talking about it, we'll just sort of come to this conclusion, like, damn, this is it. Like we just talked through something and we found what we really need to talk about. You know, sometimes I'll go on my own and try to write, and he'll do the same, and then we'll show each other what we write, and he tells me, you're going to write more. You got to expand more. This is great. Or I'll do the same with him. So I don't know. We definitely push each other. That's for sure. But I think the great thing about us is we bring the best out of each other, like from a mental standpoint, because I think we both always want to dig deeper and really find the why behind everything, you know, that we're obsessed with the why.
Yeah, that's right on. And going back to our daily launch, like, I remember was it last week that I told you I didn't know what to write about patients, that I didn't feel like qualified to talking about patients, and then after just talking about the fact that I don't know what to write about, the conversation led into a great topic that I'm excited to write about. So it just works like that.
Yeah, it's just, again, proof of product. Like, you need to open up. That's the only way things actually happen. Is like, if you're just working alone and you're always in your head, you're going to be sort of confined to do one thing. Like, you need to get your mind out there so other people can experience it, because they can expose you to a new level of thinking, a new perspective, which is going to spark something in your head. And it's a chain reaction. And that's why we know that we're only as strong as we are together. That's when we need more people around us as well to challenge us to think differently.
Yeah, that's very true. Because sometimes we're kind of like an echo chamber with each other, and we are on the same page on so many things that we need like an outsider view on that. I think it will be more interesting, but we'll see.
What's the most difficult thing that's happened so far since you guys started, that you sort of trying to get used to now?
For me, it's meeting deadlines. I mean, every month is a whole new theme that we're launching, so we have to get everything done before the first of the month. Right now, we're very behind on next month. but we still have time. Yeah. We'll make it.
March is long. Pause.
We'll make it, but...
one more week. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I think it's... And then that just makes me feel shitty, because then I feel like I'm rushing. If I have to get a lot done to meet a deadline, and then I feel like the quality is not as good. Mm-hmm. And that gives me anxiety. But yeah, meeting deadlines for me and Dex, I don't know. I like to have things done like 2 weeks in advance. Like 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, we should have patients already done. But he's more like, hey, it'll be fine. Like we'll be good. We got it till the 30th or whatever.
Yeah, I'm more like, oh, we still have 2 days to go. We're fine. Like, we'll put an all-nighter or something. I think I have that college mentality still.
Yeah, those college days.
Yeah. For me, the most difficult thing is still is opening up with people. Because, Ray says he's an introvert. I think I'm 2 miles past that introversion.
Is this tough?
Yeah, in a way it is tough. Yeah, like, it is not tough now that I'm here and I'm talking about things, but it was tough before, like, to get myself into the building. That was super tough for me. Like, commit to a date and just, I don't know, rearrange my schedule and bring myself here instead of just going straight to home and crash on the couch. That was the hardest part, and I always kind of avoid all the social settings that way.
I gotta say this. Chris was actually the first interview we did, and I'm mad he didn't wear those pants to the interview.
Dude, Chris got on some flower dashiki pants. I don't know what the hell. That's going on our page later. I got a video. Young geisha.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that's difficult. And as I think in the beginning, the most difficult thing for me was still, even though we're getting things out there, is feeling like, was it good enough?
Yeah.
And you sort of look for that validation, and when someone says, "Oh, this is great," or they watch an entire interview and they let you know, getting that validation is like, okay, maybe it's not as wrong as I thought. You know, so there's a balance you have to strike between knowing what you're doing is you're on the right path, but also you have to be open-minded to the point where you can take criticism and feedback and from the people whose opinions, you know, you value. Mm-hmm. You can't just take criticism from anybody, or else you're going to get nowhere. But implementing that and just being open-minded all the time to make changes and things and talking about it.
To further expand on, I think this is probably one of the issues why, you know, you're having issues with deadlines, but how do you guys overcome balancing your personal life, your 9-to-5 or whatever your hours might be, your work, your professional life, and also trying to basically build this company from the ground up and, you know, and trying to make it into something major? Like, how do you balance all of that while still, you know, finding time to work on labor?
I think you should take this first because you're in a unique scenario.
Well, that uniqueness scenario he's talking about is I have a kid. I have a 2-year-old and I love him so much, and it's tough. It's really challenging to be a parent and then try to balance your work that pretty much wears you off every day and then finding time at night. So actually, it's all about a structure. I have a very strict schedule and I just go to work. I'm out of the house for like 12 hours, then come home, play with the kid, put him down and start writing. So consistency, I guess, that's the main thing. And like, I think, fortunately, once you become a parent, your social life evaporates. And I never had too much to begin with, so now I don't miss like going out or anything. I just sit down, stay at home, and try to build something for the future, something for myself.
Yeah, consistency is key. I think something I've learned is you do a little at a time. Eventually you'll get something done, you know. Like, I don't need to sit down, write an entire article, you know, in one sitting. Like, just get something down, you know, take a break, go back to it, but I just need to be consistent, do a little bit at a time. It's very hard to find time, especially when your job takes so much out of you. When you get home, usually my routine is I get home, if I didn't go to the gym in the morning, I go to gym, you know, after work when I get home, and by the time I get out, it's, I don't know, 8:30, I have to cook because, you know, I wear the apron in the house. And then it's 9:30, and then I ate. I'm freaking exhausted, but I have to do a little bit. I just have to do a little bit. And in terms of writing, I'm weird in the sense, I think you're different than I am. I have to be in the zone. Like, I have to be like a quiet space. Even though I'm listening to music, I need to be in a quiet area. and I need to usually have a drink in my hand and just start writing. And I can't like write in the morning, like I know you do sometimes in the commute. I can't do that in the morning. In the morning, I either want to listen to a podcast, cooling out, or I want to, or I want to read the news or just listen to music, and I just want to like vibe out on my way to work. So I feel like also though I need to make those moments where I don't want to write. I need to write during those times. Like I need to find more time. There's always, you can always find more time and just sacrifice in a little bit.
Yeah, just the other day too, like I feel that too when you're at work all day. Some of us work overtime. I'm sure all of us work overtime. And it's like you get home at 9:30 and you just want to crash, like, and then you have to do the same thing over again the next day. But like I found like I spend at least 30 minutes, like if it's not watching a video or making videos or like looking stuff up on the internet. Like I feel those too sometimes when you just be like, I don't want to do nothing. And I take that as like, maybe I should do something. That's like, maybe I might find something that if I didn't actually look, I won't have for the next day. And I'm big on that too. Like, if I don't do something now, I'm not going to have it for tomorrow. And that's going to change my whole thought process. Versus if I don't have it, I'm not going to be thinking about it at all. So like, this could create a whole new day for me and I didn't even realize it. So like, that's something too, you guys, that can really expand on, like the working worker who's like working at their 9-to-5s and working at their passions.
Yeah. And you always got to think about too, like, why are you doing this? You know, like it shouldn't feel like a hassle to make time for this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it shouldn't be an issue. You should want to, like you said, like sometimes you want to do nothing. Why don't you want to, instead of doing nothing, do the thing you want to do? Yeah. You know, why is that? I'm asking you.
Like, when you have, it's, I don't know actually, because I'll be home and I'll be like, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I'll just feel lazy, like drained, because I have to cook too. It's like I look at my dog, I gotta feed that nigga, and it's like, do I really care about him? Like, he could go one day without eating, and I end up feeding him. I'm not cruel like that, but nah, Chewy got me wrapped around his finger, chill. But nah, it's like, you know, you're an adult all day, and it's like you want to be that kid again at night, and you forget. Like, yeah, Jarrell liked that one. No,
it's real because, so it's funny because like, and I would say, whoa, in recent weeks, right? Not even recent weeks, in recent months, I've said numerous times on this podcast that when I get home from work, I don't like to do anything. Like, I watch meaningless TV.
Yeah.
Just because thoughtless TV. Yeah. I don't want to think. I think all day at work. Like, every word I say is scrutinized. I have to make sure I use every, I have to think all day. I have to be very logical, very strategic in every move I make all day at work. That's my job. So when I get home from work, I don't want to do anything like that. I don't want to, like, you know, force myself to think. And recently, these past couple of weeks, like I realized how ignorant that sounded. Like I was laying on the couch, and I was like, "Yo, you've been saying this for a couple of weeks now." And like I like to like reflect sometimes. I'm laying on the couch. And I'm like, "Yo, that's just ignorant." Like basically, what I committed to was, I'm content with going to work and giving them my all, and then come home and doing nothing, and not doing anything else. When I get home, I'm watching, you know, Jamie Foxx show, Wayne's Brothers, because I don't want to think about anything. Like, but it made me think, like, I could be doing so much more with this time. So much more that could build towards my future and things that I want to do outside of work. You know, I could be giving cooling out more time. I could be doing, you know, other endeavors that I have. I can just give so much more to that rather than me going home and for 3 hours the rest of the night doing nothing. I mean, I go to the gym, but, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, as far as, like, professionally and personal growth. Mm. There's nothing else there because I'm like going home and watching nonsensical shows because I just don't want to think. I don't want to think. And that, and just even saying that now, I realize how ignorant that shit sounds. I don't want to think, like, you know, but it's just something I realized that, you know, I had to put on wax that, you know, I ain't trying to preach that no more.
You know what? You should talk about the morning routine and how it started.
Oh, yeah. But before that, I want to say that I think we give up too much of ourselves on a daily routine. Like we give up so much for work, and then maybe for family, maybe relationships and friends and things like that. And at the end of the day, you're like burned out and everything. But I still want to feel like I did something for myself, and I created something that means something for myself. And it's not about being egotistical. It's just about deciding that that I deserve something better as a person. And even if it's just 5-10 minutes, I'm going to do something I'm passionate about. I have to do it, because I don't want to think that a day went by where I just live for someone else, for everybody else. And at the end of the day, like, when I'm 70 years old, am I going to regret all the Netflix I didn't watch, or am I going to regret all the things I didn't do for myself?
Both. No. Nah, that's real.
And if that doesn't switch your internal conversation and makes you quit your own bitching, then I think, I don't know what it will. And about the morning routine, this is something I've been wanting to do for so long. I've been reading a lot about. And what I've been reading, it makes a lot of sense, is that as humans, like, we refresh during sleep, like our brain goes through a process, and so much so that when you wake up in the morning is when you're like at your peak, your maximum, whether you're a morning person or not. And I was reading that the first thing you tackle in the morning should be the most important thing for you. So many people, like, there's all of this information on the internet that the most successful people in history, like, wake up super early, like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and things like that, and start working. And the first thing they do is the most important thing to them. So what I've been trying to do is, like, wake up super early and work on labor. That way my 100% potential goes to labor, and then I can get ready and go to work. But by the time I'm commuting to work, I already feel I accomplished something. I already feel like work on my real passion. And if I start my day job being like 80% full, is fine, because like the rest of the day can go downhill. And then at the end of the day, I can just crash and do nothing and watch TV, because I already did something super important for myself first thing in the morning. And I think that will be a better strategy than what I'm doing right now, that barely waking up and being all groggy and not doing anything, and then trying to solve my life issues when I come back from work. I think it will be more important.
I like that.
Yeah, that's
all right, cool.
Nah, I wanna try that too, because I never thought about that. Usually when I wake up, I want to go right back to sleep. So it's like, it's kind of hard to feel that, but I feel like we all could do it, especially going to a job every day that we don't really have ownership in. I'm definitely trying that, though.
Yeah, and you can get used to anything. Like, I know a lot of people who are, they say they are not morning people. I think it's because they don't want to be. You can get used to it, anything. And I think that's the best advantage we have as humans. We can adapt to anything.
Yeah. What's that saying? If you do it for 21 days straight, then it becomes a habit.
Maybe rewire your brain.
I've been trying. That's why I've been in the gym nonstop lately.
Well, you make that a priority. That's important to you.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's because it's summertime coming up.
You know? It's that beach vibe.
Trying to have my shirt off a little bit. You know? But yes, it is important to me. It's a priority. But yeah, it's a priority. I was about to go into this long little spill. But
go ahead.
There's no need to. But nah. You have anything else you want? Nothing. Looking Kev. Nothing.
I don't know if you guys said it fully, but like, what does Let's Labor mean to both of you guys individually?
Well, we chose labor. We chose labor because we want to do work that matters, but we already have like a job and we work every day. So we wanted something that is working, but like the next level. So we wanted to retake the word labor, like hard labor, but this is more like using your passion to work, and that's what the new meaning of labor we're trying to do. So instead of saying let's work together, it's like let's labor, let's do this next level, and that's what it means for me.
Yeah, and I would even take that a step further and say that I want to feel like I matter. And the way I will feel like I matter is if I'm bringing value to people's lives. You know, if I can create impact and change even just three people, you know? Because again, like Dex alluded to, is like when you die, you know, I want to be, and this is a quote, I don't know who said it, but like I want to be remembered by the number of people who showed up at my funeral, you know? Like the number of people who I impacted, who wanted to show up to that day, that's going to be the ultimate sort of, definition of what the type of life I lived, you know? So it's impacting people. I really want to do good in the world. Like, I think we have a lot of skills and they're not being used to do any real good right now. You know, I'm working with brands to solve a problem or sell something, sell an idea, plant something in your head that make you gonna buy something. You know, that is not enough for me anymore. You know, that's not doing any good to the world, especially now with the climate of how everything's going. You know, with the administration and everything, like, we can't depend on anybody else to make our lives better. We gotta do it ourselves. So, I wanna feel like I matter, and by bringing value to people's lives.
That's some deep shit. But since you said you don't know who quote that is, and I still quote, so that's my quote. Okay. That's mine.
That's mine.
Yeah, you quoting me back from 98.
Before Twitter.
But what I want to say is I really appreciate you guys for coming on the podcast. Right. It's been dope. If you guys have any lasting words about, you know, labor, want to shout out your IG and all that good stuff, make sure y'all get that out there.
Yes, you can follow us. It's letslabor.co is the website, and it's letslabor is the hashtag on Instagram. Our handle on Instagram. We're also on Medium, where you can read our articles. We're also on Facebook under Let's Labor, YouTube under Let's Labor, and we're working on Spotify with Carl. But he's lagging behind.
Hey.
In case he hears this.
He's gonna see it.
But he's working with us to create playlists every month that reflect the theme.
That's dope. I think you summed that up. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Well, that's it. Make sure you guys check out letslabor.co. Got some fire content for you guys. What's the theme this month?
Right now it's anxiety.
Yeah, make sure you check that. Make sure you guys check that out. Theme is anxiety. Learn a little bit about yourself. You know, relate to some people. Great, great content on this. So y'all check that out. Letslabor.co. As always, thank you for listening to the podcast. Make sure you guys rate, share, subscribe, all that good shit. If not, Kev gonna come after you. Check out the YouTube page.
From Brooklyn.
Okay. Check out the YouTube page. We got full length vids up there now, so that's definitely popping. You know, if you guys don't want to listen to us, now you can watch us. You know, we're trying to step our game up, so make sure you guys keep supporting. Appreciate all the love and support. Until next time, it's cooling out.
Stay cool.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We cooling out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We cooling out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.